the biggest basketball coaching convention of.
You can work on your stroke. Oh, are you looking?
What?
You don't want to be embarrassed?
I know. I'm talking.
What is going on? Robin, are you okay?
Robin Washington.
Are your kids near you, or what just happened?
Husker Online.
I took a lot of preparation to make this thing a flawless interview, and clearly I still can't avoid it.
Robin Washington, Husker Online.
Maybe it was aliens. Maybe it was a phenomenon that we can't explain.
The Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Okay, we're joined by our good friend on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. That is Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com. Robin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you?
Hey, good. Is Nebraska in any challenges next year in basketball, or are they just doing the Hawaii tournament? Because all of their challenges got canceled, right? The Big Ten ACC challenge got canceled. Is there any Big Ten challenges that we're missing?
No, and the Gavitt games, I believe, are
also canceled,
done, or at least close to being done. Yeah. So,
yes.
No, like formal, like conference versus conference type challenge are on the books anymore. And I think they're probably done forever. I think the new wave is just going to be teams kind of selecting their own multi-team events, and you know, kind of latching onto those types of deals that you can kind of pick and choose who you play, as opposed to the conferences doing it for you. So with that, like I said, nothing's been officially announced, but I do expect Nebraska to be in the Diamond Head Classic out in Hawaii over Christmas. And yeah, so the field hasn't been, you know, like I said, Nebraska hasn't been confirmed in that yet, but and other schools I've heard are Oregon State and Charlotte.
Oh.
Those are two names that have floated out there. So, you know, Bryce Williams revenge game, you know, that sort of thing. But,
huge.
So we'll see kind of how that comes together. That's one. Obviously, Creighton in November. Then they got some bye games early on in the season that are in the books now. And then I don't know if they're going to do like another like multi-team event, like in, you know, in the States. But I do think that they're probably going to play probably at least one more neutral site.
Maybe like
game.
A Sioux Falls game.
Yeah, that's been rumbled around there. I put that out there on our Tunnel Talk on Friday that sounds like there's some buzz that in November, Nebraska could be making a return up to Sioux Falls, back to the Pentagon, where they're 2-0 playing up there with dominant
emphatic wins.
Both times they've been up there. Yeah, so that's, I'm sure, a good thing. You know, I think you're probably looking at probably mid-November with that one, is what I've heard. So that's kind of the non-con schedule right now, where you're going to have the big trip to Hawaii. You're going to have, you know, kind of a pretty heavy dose, I think, of bye games because you need to get wins and improve your metrics. And then, you know, another quote-unquote neutral site game where you basically get a free home game with the value of a neutral site on it.
Hey, what do you think about the way that they've built this roster here? Where, I mean, they've gotten several transfers over the last couple weeks now, and we've talked about a few of them, whether it be Morgan or Griffiths or now Connor Assisian, and who am I missing? There's another one.
What'd you say? Morgan, Assisian,
Griffiths,
Wooster.
Oh yeah, Wooster, Raleigh Wooster, great name. What do you think about the way that they've sort of built it? And the shape of the team right now?
That's a good start. Obviously, there's still some voids they need to address yet, one of which being they just need some more front court help. You know, Morgan and Rink Mast are pretty similar players, and so I think they need another big that can do some different things, you know, be more of a aggressor on the defensive boards, you know, rim protector, you know, someone that can provide a bit more defensive physicality. So that's, I think, probably priority number one right now. And, you know, we're kind of searching all over for different names of who could potentially fit that bill. It's an ongoing search. The portal doesn't close until May 1st, but that's just for guys to hit the portal. So there's really not like a pressing deadline to get guys. But, you know, again, the longer this plays out, the more picked over that pool of almost 1,700, 1,800 kids is going to get dwindled down a little bit. So, you know, there's time is of the essence to an extent, but it's not like it's like panic mode right now just because Nebraska's missed out on some names that we know about. There's still a week left for more names to enter the portal that, you know, aren't even on the radar yet. And then obviously there's plenty of time to continue to recruit guys that are currently in the portal that could surface as more priority targets.
Yeah, they definitely, I was having this discussion a couple of days ago, but coming off of the loss in the NCAA tournament to Texas A&M where, you know, their athleticism and their physicality really, really jumped out and you thought, man, Nebraska just doesn't have guys like that. And that's sort of, I think that's probably a fair complaint about the way that they've built this roster so far. It's not necessarily, I guess it lacks that kind of athletic ceiling. I personally, Robin, I'll just bounce this off of you. Like I don't have a problem with it. If you want to go with skill and round some shooting into form, and like I think that number one fits in the conference for what you're going to see. It's not like you need this overwhelming athleticism to compete in the league. Like I'm totally fine with the way that the shape in which they built it so far, as long as they get some improved shooting from guys who didn't necessarily shoot it well at their previous spots, but are billed as shooters.
Yeah, so I mean, you got Griffiths and Estesian, who both came off pretty disappointing years last season. But you know, Gavin Griffiths is a top 50 recruit that you know has a lot of potential there, especially in an offense more tailored to his game in theory than what Rutgers provided. And same thing with Connor Estesian, to where you know he was a first or a all freshman. Their freshman All Big Ten selection 2 years ago was averaging double figures on a good Wisconsin team, and so like you'd think that last year, you know, he had that back injury and just kind of passed up on the depth chart that his game can get back into form to where it was two seasons ago, and then you hope for continued development of, you know, guys like Bryce Williams, who, you know, really was starting to found his 3-point stroke towards the end of last year. You know, then you're adding a Nick Janowski, who I think can help in that regard. Mm-hmm. He was one of the best shooters in the 24 class and one of the best players in the state of Wisconsin. So I do think that he can have like an Eli Rice type role as a true freshman. So, you know, they've got pieces in place right now, assuming that all those things happen, that, you know, Siege and Griffiths are ready to bounce back and will thrive in Fred's offense the way that you would expect, and that the returning players continue to develop the way that you would expect, and you know that Nick Janowski is ready to contribute at the Big Ten level right away as a true freshman. So, you know, I think that's a risk involved there when, you know, you need a lot of things to fall into place the way that you'd hope. But I think that's pretty much every team right now.
Yeah,
you know, Nebraska's not the only one that's, you know, banking on guys doing things that maybe they necessarily hadn't done at their previous school. So I like the picture of what they've retained and what they've added so far. Now they just need to kind of put those finishing touches just with that post depth and physicality and athleticism, just to, you know, the A&M game that sticks in everybody's mind. But also keep in mind, Nebraska was plenty athletic enough last year to compete in the Big Ten. And so
they're not
building a roster to beat 2023-24 A&M. They're building a roster to compete in their conference. And I think that they're not as far away from doing that as maybe they seemed to compete against A&M in that tournament game.
Hey, one more basketball question for you, Robin. Robin Washington of Husker Online is with us. What's your read on Mast at this point? And I guess, is there any sort of even a fuzzy timeline on what his decision-making process looks like at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I expect him back. He's hosting recruits on visits. Like he was with Connor Season on his visit last week. So, I mean, he's actively recruiting for Nebraska. He's around doing classes. So, like, you know, I think he's just going to kind of explore and just see what options are out there. But right now, I would almost be surprised if he wasn't back. The question now, though, is what's going to happen with that knee? And you know, he's talked about potentially needing an additional surgery on that. Well, what's the kind of severity or extent of that surgery, and how long is it going to potentially keep him out if he does have it? That's kind of the bigger question now than whether or not he's going to be back. It's, you know, what's his situation with his knee, and when is he going to be available to play, and when's he going to be potentially back to full strength? Those are things that we just don't know right now until we get maybe further word on kind of just what the status is with the potential surgery.
Robin, what do you think we'll get out of the spring game on Saturday? Like, I'm wondering, honestly, as far as how they'll kind of shape up, how they'll frame up, whether it's the quarterback race or just the competition in general. Like, what are you expecting on Saturday? Where I think everybody's kind of going into it with, the way they've framed the spring here, which is kind of, you know, as blank slate as they can keep it. Like, what are you expecting on Saturday?
Yeah, it'll be vanilla. I think, you know, they'll play football. You know, it'll be tackling. Quarterbacks won't be live, but, you know, I think they're going to try to run the ball a little bit. And, you know, if nothing else, you'll get your first look at what Ryola and Kalen look like in running the offense. The thing you got to keep in mind is it's a lot easier to stand there in the pocket in that situation knowing you're not going to get hit. You take that evaluation for what it is. But at least, you know, you at least are going to get that first real picture of those guys running the offense in Memorial Stadium with fans in the stands and all that. So I think there's value in that regard. I don't anticipate their main guys playing much at all. With the top guys that have kind of sat out the last couple scrimmages, maybe you get a series or two out of that group. So a lot of it is going to be kind of a showcase for you guys maybe a little bit further down the depth chart a little bit. And then again, with the quarterback play, it is what it is. You're looking for just execution, you know, accuracy, decision-making, knowing that things might change again in the fall when the bullets start flying for real on those guys.
All right, Robin, we'll let you go. Appreciate it as always. Thanks for taking the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. See you later.
Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com. We'll have more on football with Mitch Sherman coming up here in about 20 minutes. The Skeens Day is underway. So the outfield is jacked full of children. And
oh, okay, like, the berms?
Yeah, look at that. You just missed it. And then there's a few people who have made their way in behind the plate. I see one guy prominently featured in an LSU hoodie, an LSU sweatshirt.
Yep.
We are in the top of the first, and Kyle Davies is making his Storm Chasers debut.
Base is full of Indians right now.
Yeah. So we'll wait a little bit longer for the Skeens debut.
Bay. Okay.
G1 Bay.
Bay is on third.
Bay is on third, indeed. Just wait till Yasmani Grandal gets up. It'll be very, very fun to watch. All right. We'll be back. Let's do a segment in between before we talk to Mitch Sherman of The Athletic coming up at the bottom of the hour. All to come on 1620 The Zone. But first, the road to the NBA Finals is well underway. It's not if you're the Los Angeles Clippers, who lost last night, though, because there is no road to the NBA Finals. New customers in the FanDuel Sportsbook can go on your own run, unlike the Clippers, with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, during the NBA playoffs. Like I've always said, the NBA is made for unintentional comedy. So you can fade the teams that you like to laugh at and get double the laughter, like the Clippers, like the Lakers, like the 76ers. Or you can bet the teams that are going to win each of those games as well. Individual player props, first basket scores, plenty more on the FanDuel Sportsbook at FanDuel.com/Happer. Use the promo code Happer and get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.